appreciate you being
Philippians chapter 1.
Philippians chapter 1. Now, if you got anything you want to talk about, just holler. Anybody got a question about something that we have said in the class or something you would like to be answered by the Word of God? If we can find it in the Word of God, we'll answer it that way. I don't have no opinion, and I don't know how to figure it out. I just reckon it to be so.
Well, I figure you guys.
All right. Okay, if y'all will join me in prayer, please. Father, we thank you for our Savior. Father, we thank you for the time we have here this morning and for the facility you provided for us to meet in. And Father, we ask you to bless the business that operates here to meet their needs and keep the doors open for us. And Father, we thank you that we can put our faith and trust in your preserved word that you preserved for us in the English language that we are raised in and don't have to understand the Greek and the Hebrew to believe what you mean. And Father, we ask you this morning to especially be with those that are sick. We ask you to comfort these people and to give them the strength that you can give them to be faced with the things that they're faced with. And Father, we thank you for answered prayer. We thank you for your salvation that's so free in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's our aim, is to make people see the gospel of Christ, that they can be saved also. These things we pray in the name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. In Philippians chapter 1, go to verse, now I know Paul knew these Philippians and he was with them in Acts 16. So they're not unfamiliar to Paul like the Ephesians and the Colossians were. Paul didn't know the Ephesians and the Colossians. He heard of their faith and he's praying for those people that God would give them the wisdom and understanding and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, in Philippians chapter 1, verse 8, for God is my record, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that you may approve things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense, till the day of Christ. Now, Paul is telling these people to approve things that are excellent. Well, how would you go about approving things that are excellent? Well, you'd have to compare something, wouldn't you?
Correct.
Wouldn't you have to have something to compare something by? And I know my wife gets this pamphlet or whatever you call that thing. It's something about
Consumer Reports.
Reports. They report on who's got the best vehicle and who's got the best cake, who's got the best this or whatever. And you know what? You know what you're doing? You're reading the printer and the writer of that article's opinion. Y'all know what they call these opinion polls? I don't put no faith in them. But to know what Paul's talking about to these Philippians here, you got to know your Bible. And you got to do what Paul said in 2 Timothy 2:15. You got to study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So I believe when Paul's talking to these Philippians here, he's met them in Acts 16. They got baptized in a river. In Acts, you won't see there in the synagogue. They met by a riverside. So Paul baptized some of these. Well, what would be more excellent than water baptism?
Spiritual.
Off the top of your head.
Spiritual
baptism, wouldn't it?
Amen.
What would be more excellent than physical circumcision? Spiritual circumcision. In other words, when Jesus Christ died at Calvary, the body of the sins of the flesh were cut away. They're done away with. So in Colossians, he said we were circumcised with the circumcision made without hands. What is that? It's a spiritual circumcision. Romans to Philemon is a spiritual body, not a physical body. This body is the body of Christ. We that are, have trusted Christ are members of this body, and when you became a member of this body, you were sealed inside that body, and you can't get out of it. You know when you're going to get out of it? You got any idea when you're going to get out of the body of Christ? You ain't. You're sealed until the day of redemption. Well, is there anything you can do that God say, hey, depart from me, you work of iniquity, I never knew you?
No.
If the Holy Spirit baptized you into Christ's body, would God know you? He said the foundation of God standing sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. And automatically the world churches gets in the middle of that, say, well, you can't eat this, you can't do that, you can't go there, don't walk on the grass, don't kick the cat, don't be mean to your neighbor, you gotta love everybody as you do the Lord Jesus Christ. And that ain't what it's about. You know what departing from iniquity is? It's departing from idolatry. Idolatry. Y'all study idolatry from Genesis all the way through your Bible. I mean, it's very clear what it is. It's bowing down to idols. It's saying, hey, this is my God. It's like the story in Jeremiah. The man cut a tree down, made him an idol out of it. Some of the wood he took and cooked his dinner with, and he's over there worshiping that thing, gets tired of it, so he uses it for firewood, cook with it and all that. It ain't nothing. It can't move itself. It can't talk. It can't go nowhere. So if in the case here, when he said approve things that are more excellent. Now, go with me to Ephesians. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Let's look at this word here. In Ephesians chapter 5. Let's see here. And now, Paul did not know these Ephesians that he wrote to. Now, in the book of Acts, Paul established a church at Ephesus. But the ones that he's writing to here, he did not know them. He told them, after I heard of your faith. Now, in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 6, let no man deceive you with vain words. For because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. In other words, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, Paul said, come out from among them. Come out from among who? Who did he tell you to come out? Hold your place and go to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Well, I think I said chapter 5, didn't I? But it's chapter 6.
Unbelievers, wasn't it?
He's going to name what he's talking about here. So if you're going to approve things that's more excellent, what does God tell you to do? Well, over there in the book of Revelation, in Revelation chapter 18, that's after the church, the body of Christ, is raptured out of here. We're gone. The second coming will be after the tribulation over here. And that's what Israel's looking for. That's what Jesus Christ trained those apostles back here to teach, that they would be looking for the second coming over here. They're not looking for the rapture. You understand? The only people going out in the rapture are those that have believed that Jesus Christ, when he died at Calvary, paid for all their sins. Peter, James, and John and the 12 didn't believe that. Now, they knew about it, but they didn't trust that. You know what Peter's trusting? That he'll endure to the end to get to the second coming over here. But wait a minute. Something intervened, didn't it? Did Peter go into the tribulation?
No.
Tribulation ain't happened yet. Well, where's Peter at?
In the ground.
You're right where Peter's at.
Peter's
in the bosom of
Abraham.
Those back here that had a sacrifice back here, the 12 that believed that Jesus Christ was the Messiah, the King, the Prince, and the Savior of the world, Did Peter believe that Jesus Christ was the Savior of the world? He didn't believe that. He believed he was the Christ, the Son of the living God, as Jesus Christ asked him in Matthew chapter 13, chapter 16, verse 13, he said, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" Peter said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." That's the same testimony that the eunuch made in Acts chapter 8. Same eunuch. Well, what do we believe? Do we believe he's the Son of God? I do. Will that save you today? No, it won't. There ain't but one gospel that'll save you today, and that's Paul's gospel. So if you compare Paul's gospel, it has to be rightly divided. That's what he's telling us in 2 Timothy chapter 2. There's a more excellent way over here. You can get into this body without being in the covenants of promise today. You understand? That's more excellent. It's easier. It's simpler. These people had to keep some commandments. They had to keep some ordinances. They had to keep the Lord's Supper.
Amen.
Not so over here. All that was done away with, and it was nailed to the cross. The law and the commandments contained in ordinances were done away with at the cross. They were nailed to the cross for us. You understand? Now, what she says here in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14, "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers." Y'all know what a yoke is?
Yeah.
I got one hanging in my den. I must say my den, our den. It's a yoke. It's a piece of wood that comes across like this here. And it's got of pieces that come down through like this here, and it's got things up here to keep them from coming out. It's got a rod, a bolt that comes through here with an eyelet on the end of it, and a horse and a jackass to hook together. Y'all like that? Y'all ever seen a team of oxen? Y'all know what an ox is? It's a cow. It's a bovine. Well, you put two oxen in this yoke and they'll work together. They will be in agreement. But you put an ox over here and an ass over here, they're going to fight one another. That's what Paul is saying here. Verse 14, "Be ye not unequally yoked together with" who?
Unbelievers.
Unbelievers that don't believe that Jesus Christ is the Messiah, the Son of God. Unbelievers of what? That when Christ died at Calvary, he died for all their sins. Do we have a lot of vain believers in the world?
Yes.
They sure do.
More than believe.
They believe that Jesus Christ came into the world, virgin-born Son of God. Next weekend is Easter. Next weekend, they'll be saying that Jesus Christ was crucified on Friday night, resurrected on Sunday morning, and they don't give a flip what the Bible says. If you compare that with what Jesus Christ said, that he would be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth, you can't get 3 days and three nights from Friday evening at 6 o'clock to sunrise service Sunday morning. You know what sunrise service was? There were men in the Old Testament back here that turned their back on the Lord and worshiped the sunrise. You know what they're worshiping? The sun. Y'all know of a nation that worships the sun now?
Yeah.
Japan. Japs worship the sun. What's on their flag? Big old sun. Big old sun. What do we worship? The Lord Jesus Christ, the head of the church, the body of Christ. So it's more excellent. It's a lot simpler. But Satan has made it so hard for people to see the gospel of Christ by church tradition, water baptism, keeping the tithes, all of these things, confessing their sins, mm-hmm. walking the aisle, asking Jesus to come into their heart, all sorts of things. Now, a lot of them preach that Jesus Christ was crucified, buried, and he died for your sins. But the only way to get it is to do all this stuff. And that is perverting the gospel of God. That's changing what Paul preached to a perverted gospel. Now, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? Well, how can you be righteous? How can you be righteous today?
In Christ.
Well, hold your place here and go to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Let's do it then. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Do you have to be justified to get into the presence of God Almighty?
Yes.
In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1. Let a man so account of us as the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Well, are we responsible for the mysteries of God? We so are. You know what a steward does? He keeps things in check. He keeps it in order. And he has to study. And he has to approve things that are more excellent. He has to rightly divide Paul's epistles. Now, watch what he says. Verse 2. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. But with me, this is Paul, it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you, or of man's judgment. Yea, I judge not mine own self. Beloved, if I judge my own self, ain't nothing I could do but say, hey, I'm guilty.
Yeah.
I am guilty. Do y'all know what Job said in Job chapter 9, verse 2? We ain't never had that in this place.
Yeah, but I forgot it.
Y'all forgot it? Well, thank you. Let's go look at it. Go to Job. That's right before Psalms. If you got Psalms, go to Job. Going back toward the front. Job chapter 9. Job is talking to Bildad. Bildad's telling old Job, I know what your problem is, Job. You left the Baptist church, or you left the Catholic church, or you left the Methodist or the Jehovah's Witness, and you joined that bunch of low-down people over there that meet in some office building, some barred house or something, and you joined in a cult. And that's what your problem is there, Job. If you get out of that, God will bless you. Watch what Job tells this character. Chapter 9, verse 1. Then Job answered and said, I know it is so of a truth, but how shall man be just with God? How are you going to be just with God?
In Christ.
Can you be just in this flesh?
No.
No. Beloved, we are to reckon this. There's that word, reckon. Reckon yourself to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ. Not no thing that we've done, not nothing that we deserved. I deserve damnation. Some of, and you know, I remember some time back I was talking to Jack Lockhart. He said, you know, I can't remember the things I want to, but the things I don't want to remember, I can remember everything. I get up sometimes and I can remember things I've done from my youth up. Like God told Noah, I see man is evil from his youth up. I'm him. He knew me. I'm still evil. I'm still evil. Road rage is terrible in my soul. If that's the proper way to express it. I do try to control myself. Because I have found out it don't do no good anyway. One night I got cut off by some people, and I mean I'd come plumb nearly having a wreck. Very lucky that I was paying attention. I took my wife home, and I got back in my vehicle with my pistol, and I tried to find them people, and I thank God I didn't find them. because I might be in the penitentiary somewhere right now, road rage. There's been a lot of people that's gone to jail on account of that. You do know that, don't you? So what do we need to do? We need to control it. Bring it under subjection. Bring it under subjection. What good would it do me if I killed somebody? I got into a rip one time. It's Scott Paper with a guard. Me and him had some words. He was abusing the guard vehicle, and I talked to him about it. Well, he got a little bit smart mouth with me. Well, I got a little bit smart mouth back with him. But I told that man, I said, you know, I'm obligated to tell you that Jesus Christ died for you and paid for all your sins. I said, beyond that, I don't owe you nothing. And I said, I'm going to see your boss right now, Bobby Duke. And I went straight to Bobby Duke's office and told him about that dude. Well, Bobby called him in, had a little talk with him. Me and him both had a little talk with Bobby Duke about this situation. Look what Job says, verse 20. If I justify myself, mine own mouth shall condemn me. Wow, ain't that like people? Yeah, well, then tell me about your salvation. Well, you know, I repented of my sins. I walked the aisle, and I signed a waiver that I'd give the church 10% of my tithes, everything I own, and I asked Jesus to come into my heart. And if I commit any sins, I confess that all the time to the Lord. You know what he did? He condemned himself by his own words. Look what he said here. Pay attention to it. Verse 20. If I justify myself, mine own mouth shall condemn me. If I say I am perfect, it shall also prove me perverse. Now, ain't that the way we are? Go to Matthew chapter 12. We'll get back to this other thing in just a minute. Go to Matthew chapter 12. Go to Matthew chapter 12. Let's see what Jesus Christ thinks about us. And you say, well, us, well, we're not in Matthew 12, are we? Isn't the whole Bible written for us?
Yeah.
For our admonition and learning? You see, years ago, when I come home from that Bible conference yesterday, instead of fixing that van, I'd have walked by and kicked the steam out of it and talked bad about it. But you know what I did? I felt it. My son-in-law told me the thing just ain't hooked enough. Well, I know what hooks from here to down yonder is. So I raised the hood. When I turned that light on, it spotted right on my problem right there. Now, went in the house joyful. Al was still there. He hadn't gone home yet. I said, y'all come here. I got to show you. I made my wife and Al both go out there, and I put that light in there. I said, there's the problem. Like this, simple. Be too here in a little while. Took me about an hour or so to do what I had to do after the Lord showed me what I needed to do. So I felt a whole lot better about it. I went to bed and went to sleep real easy. If I'd rant and raved and kicked like I used to do, throw wrenches at it and all kind of mess, I probably would have laid there that night and just all gnarled up and wouldn't went to sleep. I slept good last night. Knew the Lord got me home for a purpose. Knew he took care of the problem, showed me exactly where it was. I didn't have to scatter and look. I just, when I turned that light on, it's like the Lord's directing that thing. There it is right there. Look, pay attention. Well, don't we need to pay attention to the Word of God? Well, let's see what the Lord said in Matthew 12. Verse 34, O generation of vipers. Whoa, Lord, you're talking my rough to these people here. A bunch of vipers. Y'all study Matthew chapter 23, what he thought about them spiritual leaders of Israel. Call them a bunch of snakes. O generation of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. I guarantee you what's in your heart's going to come out your mouth. Somewhere, sometime, somehow or another. It will come out. If it's in your heart, it'll come out. You know, you get around some of these people and all they can talk about is nasty jokes and all kind of stuff. You try to talk to him about the Lord and the director, where did he go? Well, he's gone. I don't want to hear that. Now, you start talking about baseball or fishing or hunting or boating or something like that, dirty magazines or something, they'll stand there and listen to you. But you start talking about the Lord, you can weed them out and you know who wants to talk about the Lord and who don't. Now, watch what he says here. Verse 35, a good man has a good treasure of his heart, bringeth forth good things. Well, what you put in your heart is going to come out your mouth, beloved. You do know in Romans chapter 10, Paul said, with a heart man believeth unto righteousness. Well, where's that righteousness at? It's in Romans chapter 1, verse 17. It therefore in the gospel of Christ. In other words, in Romans 1, 16, Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Verse 17, for therein is the righteousness of God. Well, if you're righteous, you have no business being joined together, unequally yoked together with unbelief. Now, he didn't say that you're not going to work with them. He didn't say that you're not going to meet them in your family. He didn't say that you're not going to meet them in the streets and the byways. The only way you can get away from that is to leave this world. The only way you can get away from it. But while you're with them, what do? Do you show them the attitude that Jesus Christ would show them? Mm-hmm. Hey, when I died at Calvary, I died for your sins, Paul. Paul said, Lord, what will thou have me to do? Well, what would the Lord have you to do? You belong to him if you're saved. He owned you. He purchased you at Calvary. He gave his life for you. He gave up everything he had to come down here to be a sinner and die for sinners. And then Romans chapter 5, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Who did Christ die for? The repentant dude? Who did he die for? He died for sinners. Well, who are sinners? All of us. Everybody you see out there is a sinner because of Adam. Not because of they were born bad. Not because they've done anything while they were here. I know a lot of people that ain't never done nothing bad that I know of. Ain't never said an unkind word to people. They've been in church all their life and going to die and wind up in hell. Why? Because they won't trust Christ as their personal Savior. Their own mouth are condemned by their testimony. Now watch what he says here. Verse 35 again. Oh, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth good things. An evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. Well, how many of us are evil?
All of us.
All of us. So watch what you say. Watch what you do. Watch your attitude. I mean, it ain't my job to tell you how to live. You know how you're supposed to live. You know, you can watch a little old baby when they first start walking. Mamas and stuff, they got little old trinkets sitting around the house. And a lot of people, they won't correct the kid. They just put up all this stuff so they can't break it. Well, that kid will go over there and go to touch something and they looking around to see if anybody's looking. You know what that kid's wanting? Wanting somebody to tell me, can I do this or do I need to not do this? Mm-hmm. You know, I believe it's instilled in every person that's born with a conscience. And I don't believe you have to teach people to do bad. I believe you have to teach people to do good. It's in us to do bad, ain't it? Mm-hmm. It sure is. Now watch what it says in verse 36. But I say unto you that every idle word that man shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. Are we going to go to judgment seat somewhere someday and be judged for what we've done and what we've said? Certainly we are. So why not say the right thing? Why not show people the excellent way today? Why not study the scriptures and say, well, you know, it's more excellent to believe that Jesus Christ died for my sins than to try to get into this dispensation back here that's got to confess their sins. I believe Jesus Christ died for all my sins in AD 33 when he died because of what the Bible says. Now, watch what he says, verse 37. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Verse 3. But with me it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you or man's judgment. Would the men judge men? They sure do all the time. They'll see an old wino with a bottle hid in that bag and he's out in the wide open and he gets up against the wall and he'll slide down that wall and you can see him, he's looking around to see if anybody's watching. You know why he's looking around to see if anybody's watching? He ain't scared to drink the wine. You know what he's hunting? He's hunting another wino. You don't want that other wino to know he's got a bottle. But he may come over there and whoop him and take his bottle away from him. But he thinks he's hiding. To hide from God?
No way.
God Almighty said, if you go to hell, I'm down there. Wherever you're at, God is there. He's omnipotent. He's omnipresent. He's everywhere. You can't escape him. But someday, if you're saved, we're going to a judgment seat, and you better be careful what you say and what you believe in your heart, because what's in your heart's going to come out your mouth, and God's hearing it. God told some people, he said, if the stones would cry out, if these walls could tell people what they've heard 7 days a week in here, there would be one day they'd know they heard the truth. Used to be 2 days, so we used to have Tuesday night class here years ago. So be careful what you say. Now watch what Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3 again. But if with me it's a very small thing that I should be judged of you or of man's judgment, yea, I judge not mine own self, for I know nothing by myself. Yet am I not hereby justified? Did Paul know he was justified? Well, do you know whether you're justified or not? You know who it is that justifies you? Go to Romans chapter 8. Go to Romans chapter 8. Well, wouldn't it be better and wouldn't it be more excellent to be able to tell somebody, hey, I'm justified by God. I ain't justified by my confession of my sins. I'm not justified by paying my tithes. I'm not justified by walking the aisle. I'm not justified by keeping the commandments. Some people say, well, I believe you got to keep the commandments. Well, which one are you going to keep?
All of them.
Well, tell me what they are. I'd like to know.
You, ain't you wrong in all of them if you're just wrong in one of them?
Do what?
Ain't you
guilty?
Ain't you guilty in all of them if you're guilty in one?
If you transgress one, you're guilty of all of them.
Bunch of liars in this.
Paul said if you're circumcised, you're a debtor to do the whole law. That ain't just the Ten Commandments. There's 600 and some odd laws back there in the first 5 books of your Bible. Study them. See, tell me if you can keep them. You know, if you say you can, you know what you did? You condemned yourself by your own words. You just judged yourself. Paul said, I don't judge myself. You know why? Paul knew he was a sinner. Even after he got saved, he knew he was a sinner. He knew he lived in a vile body. And he knew, and God Almighty knew this, and I know he knew this when the book of Psalms chapter 12 was written. He said he tried his word as silver and gold is tried in the furnace of earth 7 times. And you know what the verse says? Thou shalt preserve them, O Lord, from this generation forever. Why? Because man, well, I'll tell you what to do. I can't quote the last verse. Go to Psalm 12. Hold 1 Corinthians 4. Go to Psalm 12. I don't want to misquote that. You know, that's why I appreciate young men like I heard last night at Troy Clemens, and he's been in this class. He's a young man. He's got a sharp mind. And he don't fumble around like old folks like me do. Sometimes I was talking to some people there yesterday and looking at the man, and I couldn't call his name from Adam Housecap. I've been knowing him for years. And I turned around and the name jumped in my mind. Y'all ain't old enough to have that problem near there. Boy, I'm telling you what. I sometimes wonder if I ain't getting Alzheimer's. I took that test one time. I've told y'all in this class before. I took that test one time. They come up on the TV and it said, hey, to test yourself to see if you had the early stages of dementia or Alzheimer's. Well, I failed. It said, read a little short story, and then about an hour later, try to remember what you read. I can't remember. I can read in my Bible, and 2 seconds later, I said, what did you just read? I don't know. I'd go back and read it again. I failed. I've had Alzheimer's all my life. I was born with it. Born with it. Psalms 12.
No, Percy. No.
I told your sister I was preaching and stumbling over some of them words. I fall on my face. I said, there's a lady, sister, that lady right there sits in my class sometimes. I said, I'd be slaughtering the English language. I said, I can see her sitting there just cringing. But I can't.
You have a great memory.
In Psalm 12, verse 6, the words of the Lord are pure words. Well, is anything perverse in the Word of God?
No.
It's pure. It's pure words. As silver tried in the furnace of earth, purified 7 times. You know when God does something 7 times, that's the end of it. It's over with. 7 years tribulation over, and then it's over with. And we got people trying to put more than 7 years over here. And you go back to the book of Daniel chapter 9 verse 27. And the Bible says he, the Antichrist, has one more week, 7 years over here. He ain't got no 8 years. He ain't got 7.5 years. He's got 7 years over here. You can mark it down. Somebody tell you there's more time over there in the tribulation, just mark him down. Say, well, you need to study your Bible if you got a Bible. Some people don't talk about it no more. They're told a perverted version of the Bible. Now, Psalm 12, verse 7. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. There's going to be a reason why God said it's His responsibility to preserve His Word. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever, for the wicked walk on every side when the vilest men are exalted. You know what these vile men are doing? They're changing the Word of God. They're changing a little bit here, a little bit there. They're adding to it, taking away from it, changing the meaning of it. You can change one word, one little bitty word in a verse, and change the whole meaning of what God meant for you to see. And let me show you how you know that men will do this. Go to Acts chapter 3. Hold on, 1 Corinthians. Go to Acts chapter 3. Very slight. Very insignificant. No, I say it's real damaging. I say that you are a low-down, rotten crook if you use anything outside the authorized King James Version. Now, if you use the authorized New King James, I want you to show me when it was printed and how King James authorized it. King James still alive?
No.
Well, how can they call that an authorized New King James? You know who authorized it? Satan. The God of this world. You know why? He's blinding people's eyes with God's own truth so they can't see the truth of what God's doing.
That's right.
Now, Acts 3:19. Repent ye therefore and be converted that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord, and He, the Lord, shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all His prophets from the beginning of the world. Now that time is the second coming over here. Okay? Now, what did He change in the verse? Verse 19 again. Repent ye therefore and be converted that your sins may be blotted out. You know what He done? I'm going to read it like the New Version say. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so the times of oppression shall come from the presence of the Lord. Did that change what God meant there?
Right.
When you change the word from when to so, does it change what the verse means?
Yes. Yeah.
Well, why would you want to? I used to watch Charles Stanley. I don't watch him no more. He don't use 1611 King James Bible no more. If he uses a Bible that's got a lie in it, you know what he's doing? He's a liar.
Amen.
He's a liar. Revelation said all liars will have their part in the lake of fire. Right. Mark it down. He ain't talking about like me telling lies on. Well, there might be one or two of you in here that may not do this. But there ain't hardly a person in the world that you can find that won't lie to you about something. You back somebody up in the corner, you got him trapped, he gonna lie his way out of there. Oh no, I didn't say that. Well, no, somebody else said that. That wasn't me. Boy, I got out of that and didn't I? How'd you get out of it? Well, I just told a little white lie. It wasn't big, just a little white lie. There ain't a mumbling soul on 2 feet that ain't never lied outside of Jesus Christ.
That's right.
And I suspect Paul lied a whole lot too. Some of the situations Paul got into, I know Paul had to lie to get out of there. I would. Oh, I'd have been like Peter. I don't know that dude. What are you talking about? That gal said, hey, now, wait a minute. Your speech is telling on you. You one of them Galilean fellows. Yeah, do y'all know how you can tell some people which areas of the world they're from in the United States? By their accent. Boston. I'm from Boston. I'm from upstate New York. I talked to a 78-year-old dude, major in the Marines. I talked to him while I did too. He loved to talk to that dude. He's from upstate New York, but he's living in Pensacola now. He saw the truth, and he was a major in the Marines. He joined the Marines in 1956. Went to Pensacola to study to fly. He flew helicopters in Vietnam. He was telling us about all the stuff he had to do over there, picking up these some dead bodies and pieces of bodies and bodies without heads and all this stuff where they got blown up and all these Marines and all. And that man gave his testimony. You ought to heard it. He had a good testimony of salvation. But he loved to talk. He still got that upstate New York habit. Me and Al got tickled that boy. I mean, he loved to talk. So if you change one little word, go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. If you change one little word, you change the meaning of the verse. It ain't just significant. It ain't insignificant. It is serious. Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, for I know nothing by myself, yet am I not hereby justified, but he that judgeth me is the Lord. Go back to Romans chapter 8 where you're holding, or you should be. Romans chapter 8, verse 33, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Well, don't let nobody judge you. Don't let nobody tell you, like Bildad was trying to tell Job back there. He said, Job, I know what your problem is. You quit the assembly and now all this stuff's happening to you. God's punishing you. Now listen to me. I ain't calling no names. I have some dear friends that I went to church with. I rented from one of these men that's in this church. We rented a house when my daughter was, I don't know how old, she was just a toddler. We lived in this rented house that this man owned. Well, this man left a certain church. This man was an alcoholic. in his later life. I've heard the man's testimony, and I don't believe his alcoholism. And I'm not telling you you need to be an alcoholic, and I'm not telling you it's good to be an alcoholic. But I'm telling you the man has a testimony of salvation. Was he saved?
Yes.
Sure was. Well, I heard a preacher say this man wouldn't have had all this trouble if he'd have stayed in this church. Said while he was in this church, he wasn't no alcoholic. Well, I don't think the alcoholism just starts overnight and one night and then next day you're an alcoholic. I believe it's cultured. I believe our lifestyle cultures us to what we're going to be. I believe if you live a life of, like the Lord said, you live by violence, possibility you may die by violence. May die by violence. So when Paul says in verse 33, he didn't say what, he said who shall separate us from these things. In other words, it's who all the way through there. Verse 33, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Are you the elect of Almighty God? Are you, was Jesus Christ know you in God the Father before the foundation of the world? Did he know that when Jesus Christ came and died, did somebody preach the gospel to you and you would hear that and you would trust Christ as your Savior? God Almighty knew that, didn't he? Before the foundation of the world, we were known in Christ before we were ever born. Now watch what he says. Verse 33, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. Well, who does God justify? Those that repent of their sins, those that walk the aisle for Jesus, those that keep the tithes, those that keep the commandments. You want me to show you who God justifies? Go to chapter 3. Romans chapter 3. Well, I won't never find it in Acts chapter 3, I'm sure. Boy, I'm telling you what, if I had a mind, I'd be dangerous. In Romans chapter 3, verse 20, therefore by the deeds of the law there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. Will God justify you if you keep the law? You know what Paul said to those Galatians? The law does what? It shows sin. And the law is not of faith. And in the book of Romans, Paul said, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Well, the law is not of faith.
That's right.
Verse 20, therefore by the deeds of the law there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, but by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God which is by faith in Jesus Christ unto all. Don't do that. Who's that mumbling back here? Yeah, you see, your new translation changes all then. Well, it changes the context. I'm justified by his faith, not my faith. My faith may fail, but his won't. Verse 22, even the righteousness of God which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe and keep the law. No, if you keep the law, you're condemned. You're condemning yourself. Well, I believe in Jesus Christ. I believe he died for me. I believe he paid for my sins. Now I got to keep the law. I got to follow the Lord in believer's baptism. I told y'all about that new book, Bible I bought, didn't I? I got a new Bible and I've used it at this wedding and I've got to reading in the front of it. It had that old sinner's prayer in there. Follow the Lord and believe his baptism. I went in the kitchen and got me a pair of scissors. Cut that part of it out and throw it in the garbage. I don't believe that. I don't want people to think I believe it. That's why that New King James I got at the house, I scratched out holy. I believe it's a book. That's what Bible means, is a book. But it ain't holy. That sucker's got holes all in it. And I'm talking about bad holes. I showed some people the fallacy in the New King James versus the King James in Proverbs 25. Y'all know what the fallacy is there in verse 23? Let me show you. Go to Proverbs 25. That's right after Psalms, if you have a problem with it. I showed this to somebody, and they said, boy, I'm going to use that. You see, this one fellow that come to me and talked to me about it, he said, I've been trying to show somebody about these new translations. He said, that's a good verse right there. Now, this is in the King, New King James. Now, I'm reading 16:11. Verse 23, the north wind driveth away rain, so doeth an angry countenance, a backbiting tongue. You know what the New King James says? The north wind brings forth rain. Huh?
What?
Somebody lying, ain't they? The north wind drives the rain away, according to God. According to Satan's book, he says it brings forth rain. I showed that to a principal at a Baptist school. I showed her this, and I said, now what you going to do? She just shrugged her shoulder. I said, why teach these kids a bunch of lies? They use the New King James over there. Why teach somebody a lie? Why call somebody to be unequally yoked together? Go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. You can drop 1 Corinthians. Go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. What is it to be yoked together? It means to be in agreement. You can't yoke two animals that are not in agreement. You got to yoke two animals that are in agreement. Years ago when I was in the Marines, I was stationed up in North Carolina at Camp Lejeune. I had a buddy of mine that was in our same group. He was from Lumberton, North Carolina. His family were sharecroppers. They lived on a tobacco farm. We went out there we had a 3-day pass, one July the 4th. Hot, oh, it was hot. We went out there to this boy's house, and we got out there after we got off from duty. We got out there about 9:30, 10 o'clock at night. Now, you listen to me. This boy's mama woke up, cooked us old Marines. There were three of us that went with our buddy. She got up and cooked us a meal in that night. We ate the next morning, Friday morning. We had 3-day pass, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. We got up at daylight. Everybody's up stirring around eating breakfast. Right after breakfast, you know where we went? Went to the tobacco field. We, what they called sand lugging. That tobacco, about some of that stuff was taller than I was, and it grows from the bottom up like this here, around that stalk. That first crop they called sand lugging. You got them rows like this here, and that tobacco is like this. That first limb that comes out is down in the sand. You take your finger and you go around that thing like that and pick it off. And if the next one up on the other side, if it's ready, you pick it too. But they call that sand lugging. But what I'm trying to get you to see, there's an old mule there. Pulling a ground slide. Didn't have no wheels on it. Had a ground slide on it. And he would pull it down through these rows on that ground slide. Now the barn, it's down the old dirt path down here. Over here. And we're in the field back here. We would fill that hopper up. And then in this wagon here. Man that was in charge, he'd pat that mule on the butt. He said, go to the barn. Didn't have no leader. He'd turn at the end of that row. He would come back out into this road. He'd go to the barn. They'd unload his stuff. They'd pat him on his butt. He'd go up here and turn around, come right back where he's supposed to be.
That's pretty neat.
If you were to yoke him with a donkey or something, they would tear that field down trying to get back over here, and they might wind up at the neighbor's farm. That mule, they didn't have no leader. He knew what to do. He was trained. Do you know what to do when you meet somebody that's unequally yoked with you? Well, you do. Yeah. Preach the word of God to him, rightly divided. Show him what Christ did for him. And maybe you won't be unequally yoked together with an unbeliever. Maybe you'll be yoked together with a friend that you want to know that they need salvation, that they can be saved just like they are. Ain't got to stop nothing, ain't got to go nowhere, ain't got to do nothing. We worked all day long in that field cropping tobacco. And that mule, dog, pat him on the butt, go to the barn. Pat him on the butt, go to the field, turn around and go back. It fascinated me. We stayed up there all weekend cropping tobacco, and I was glad that weekend was over with. That was something. That was real interesting. And these people are sharecroppers. But they loved life. And they didn't have no enemies. If you come there, you was their friend, they would feed you. And you talk about a good meal, fresh peas, okra, fresh made biscuits, fresh tea, all you could drink. I mean, it was just nice. So what does Paul say here, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14? Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? Well, you don't. What communion hath light with darkness? You know, you can have fellowship with unbelievers in the secular world. But you go to talking about the Lord in it, you ain't gonna have no fellowship. Why? They're gonna be saying one thing, you're gonna be saying something else. Well, I love that NIV. And Russell remembers this night. We had a man, we would have a class in Russell's home on Tuesday night. Nolan Butler was there, Ralph Carson was there, and I forget who all was in the house. There was a friend of, I believe it was Matthew's friend that come there. He had an NIV. We sat there and showed that man all the fallacies and the lies in that book. He left there hugging that thing and said, I love my book. Well, what you going to do? I mean, you've done all you can do. You can't make people believe. You can show it to them, but you can't make them believe. Now, watch what Paul says here. Verse 16, for what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? Do we have any agreement with an idol?
No.
No way in shape. For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them. I will be their God. They shall be my people. Wherefore come out from among them, who? The unbelievers. Be ye separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Who will God receive? Those that believe that Jesus Christ died for their sins. Who will God justify? Those that believe that Jesus Christ died for their sins. Who will God glorify? Those that believe that Jesus Christ died for their sins. He will not glorify somebody else in this dispensation. I appreciate you being here this morning. My time's up. I'm not going to, I know I wasted 5 minutes of y'all's time a while ago, but I'm not going to make you stay out of here. After school. Boy, I used to hate to hear that word. You need to stay after school here, boy. I appreciate y'all being